Classic Business. Digital Economy.
The news that Cambridge Analytica is closing its doors is welcome in this age of data breaches and fake news, but it raises an interesting question. Does data need to be big or creepy to shed light on consumer psychology? Well, someone didn't have their mute button on. I've got Annie Symington, citizen data scientist and data visualization guru at DataViz Consulting and formerly a data guru at MultiChoice, in studio to talk about this. Evening, Annie.
Hi, Michael. Sorry about that mute button.
No problem at all. I thought you were just trying to add effect to the conversation around silicosis.
I know.
With those coughs. Now, I see you've walked in on a crutch, so sorry to see that you've picked
no
up
problem.
An injury. But we're here to talk about an even bigger injury that may be suffered by the big data scientist community on the back of Cambridge Analytica. When you look at it, does it anger you as a data scientist who's obviously trying to work ethically in the space to see the way a firm like Cambridge Analytica has behaved?
I think absolutely, definitely it does. And there's going to be a lot of change that's going to happen off the back of this, because how can it go unnoticed? And already Facebook are implementing changes, and there's a lot of processes that will alter and third-party information that will change. But the reality is, I think Cambridge Analytica, there was a lot of unethical behavior around a lot of different things. So it was very questionable how they utilized all their information, how they practiced throughout those few years that they were around. I do think as a consumer, there will definitely be benefit. Ultimately, you want people to use your information very, very carefully. You don't want them to be reckless with how they are mining your information or even monetizing it.
That's the paradox here for consumers, and I think for marketers as well, because as consumers, we want personalized, targeted, valuable information, but we also don't want to be felt like we're being spied on, and we don't want to feel invaded. So it's that balancing act, that kind of that trade-off, so to speak. How do you balance this moving forward?
Well, you're always going to have a certain segment of your consumers that just do not want you to have any conversations with them. They don't want you to be using their data, and they've opted out from that. So you need to just leave like that be. You can't reverse that process, and you can't reverse that. That's like a personal preference. But generally, customers, there's every single retailer or has a loyalty program. So many different people are opting into that because there's benefit to them. So they want you to have a more relevant conversation with that. They don't want you to be targeting on irrelevant goods or services. So it's otherwise they're just going to be opting out of it anyways. So it's reckless of us not to be using that information better, because they're giving us the opportunity to track their spend. I use an example. I was with the loyalty program, and they kept addressing me as Victor, and I opted out of that. I'm the kind of person that opts into everything because I want to see who's doing it and how they're doing it.
Yeah.
So it's a very competitive environment. We need to know our customers better. And generally, you have an endless amount of information that you can in terms of having those conversations.
And what I like about that approach is it's putting the human element back into data science. You're saying that people are all different. They're diverse. You have a diverse array of personalities out there. Some people love opting in and love subscribing to things. I mean, you do it because it's part of your job, but I know a lot of people who do.
Absolutely.
That they've got 50 different cards in their wallets because they like loyalty programs. So they want to be sent all this information, but it's understanding that the human element is there. And too often when we talk about data, I talk to experts about data and they forget the human element. I mean, that's almost a secondary thought. And that's really the key here.
So that's what I'm really, really passionate about, because it's not data that behaves, it's customers that do. And ultimately, you want to understand about the customers better. And I think a perfect example for me, which is something that I really have a lot of admiration for, is the Netflix algorithm around the segmentation. Is they have 1,300 clusters, which is almost unheard of. You always get your base segmented, and you're looking at 5 to 7 different clusters.
Yeah.
But you're sitting in a population of 54 million people, and different languages, different income brackets, and you've been clustered into one of five different clusters, which is almost shameful to do that. So, because there is so much different, there's so much different information, and like the rise of digital, I think that's also offering a new, like, realm for us to move into in terms of understanding like a little bit more about the customers.
And how often, if you're a Netflix user, have you gone onto Netflix and thought, oh, Netflix just understands me, they get me, this next suggested show that I watched, and it's absolutely what I love, and it speaks to that algorithm and the way they cluster. Why do we approach it in such a narrow sense in South Africa? Is it still because it's a fairly nascent industry here? Are we being maybe a little bit lazy with the way we try and segment the population?
I seem to think that there's still a lot of discussion around how do we get our data right. We're still like stuck in that mentality of let's get it right, let's make sure that it's all perfect. And the reality is, if you're not using your data, you're losing an opportunity. And using your data helps you clean your data. So every time I go to conferences or I speak at conferences, the number of conversations that are still being held around data governance, data storage, it so outweighs the conversation around how do you actually leverage that information. So we do have a long way to go. I don't think we're that far behind. I think there are companies that are starting to get it right and are starting to use it much better. Netflix, I think they've been using data from day one. So they've been mining it. And back to the whole Cambridge Analytica, there was a lot of third-party information involved there. Netflix, they're fortunate in the sense that they can leverage all their own data. So you don't necessarily need to append it with third-party information. As long as you're utilizing your own information best, then you can better extract the value from the customers.
So it's all about understanding your prospecting, how you go out there and mine that data directly rather than relying on third parties too much.
Absolutely. I think there is a place for third-party information, and I would definitely, like I've used third-party information, but you have to be using your own information best. Past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior. So you're not necessarily going to shift your behavioral patterns overnight merely because a conversation has changed or there's a tweak in our product offering, our service offering. So it's the best place to start using your information and leveraging those conversations.
Oh, Annie, very interesting indeed. We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately, because we've run out of time. That was Annie Symington, citizen data scientist and data visualization guru at DataViz here on Classic Business.